From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament, currently dealing with the first epistle of Peter. The apostle wrote his two epistles to Jews who had come to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, they faced opposition from two quarters: unconverted Jews who accused them of betraying the law of Moses, and pagan Gentiles who saw them as atheists because they refused to worship their pantheon of pagan gods. Peter began by defining what a true Christian is. He then shows that a Christian lives in the light of who and what he is in Christ. In the face of adversity, believers must rejoice in what is eternal and cannot be taken away. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to continue a message entitled The Christian's Trials and Triumphs. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled More Than Mere Words. The text is Acts chapter 13 and verse 34. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Nothing of man is sure, but everything of God is so. Especially are covenant mercies sure mercies, even as David said, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. We are sure that the Lord meant his mercy. He did not speak mere words. There is substance and truth in every one of his promises. His mercies are mercies indeed. Even if a promise seems as if it must drop through by reason of death, yet it never shall, for the good Lord will make good his word. We are sure that the Lord will bestow promised mercies on all his covenanted ones. They shall come in due course to all the chosen of the Lord. They are sure to all the seed, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. We are sure that the Lord will continue his mercies to his own people. He does not give and take. What he has granted us is the token of much more. That which we have not yet received is as sure as that which is already come. Therefore, let us wait before the Lord and be still. There is no justifiable reason for the least doubt. God's love and word and faithfulness are sure. Many things are questionable, but of the Lord we sing, for his mercies shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure.
When we've attempted to do answers fail us and doubts arise, but God seems distant from our eyes. When it's time to trust, yes, it's time to remember that our Lord is faithful to His own. If we hope, we shall yet be praising once again, for His silence never means that we're alone. He is in the mountain praying that our faith will never fail, though our souls be sifted through. O'er the winded ways we soon shall see Him coming to prevail. We can trust Him, for His promises are true.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
You see, the simple rule of a Christian's life is, how am I supposed to live? I am supposed to live in the light of who I am and what I am in Jesus Christ. Simple as that. And that will give you a direct answer when you're wanting to face some of the down-to-earth questions of life. Should I do this? Should I go there? Should I get involved in that? Let me answer that in the light of who and what I am in Christ. Now listen, Christians are the true royalty. We have read already, we are a royal priesthood. We are the children of the King of Kings. Therefore, we should live in the light of what we are. We're to live like the royal family of heaven on earth. That's how we're to live. Simply, how a Christian lives. I haven't time to work out in detail what that means, but I'll tell you, it means we live in happiness. Martin Lloyd-Jones said years ago that a miserable Christian is a contradiction in terms. That's not to say Christians can't weep and Christians can't be saddened by events, but Christians, despite surrounding circumstances, should be inwardly and basically happy. They should be a contented people. They should be a rejoicing people, people who are rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Still, you're rejoicing people. Think of it. I'm saved. I can be happy in that. I'm born again. My sins are gone. I'm never going to go to hell. If I died today, I'd go straight to be with Christ. Now, I might have a pain in my head. I might have a broken leg. I might be running short of money. I might have to miss a meal or two. Those are not pleasant things, but they can't change the great reality that makes a man basically happy. I can rejoice in the Lord and let His mercy cheer. We're happy people, so be happy. Live in happiness. Some people think, you know, that holiness means a face. Hold a second, I'm forgetting where I am. You two will understand this. And some who have listened to me say this before, you might understand it. Northern Ireland would say it means having a face like a Lurgan spade. It's a long face. Now you've seen that kind of person. He has this, I'll give you a nice big word. Just think of it. If you don't know it, look it up and then try to put it on in the mirror and you'll understand what I mean. He has this lugubrious look. And that's holiness. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Now, happiness is not a charismatic grin. Happiness is not jiving around with your hands in the air to some music that's supposed to be Christian that sounds more like Michael Jackson after a night in the tiles. Happiness is rejoicing in the Lord. That's what it is. Live in happiness. Second, live in holiness. As He that has called you is holy, chapter 1, verse 14, so be ye holy in all manner of behavior and conversation. Chapter 2, as newborn babes in Christ, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. How do you do that? First of all, you lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and evil speaking. Lay it aside. It has no part in the life of a Christian. Chapter 2, verse 11. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now let me, I don't want to get off on a tangent and I haven't time. I'd love to have half an hour of this. Some of you Christians wonder what's wrong with you. You perch yourself for hours in front of some of the filthiest muck on television that Hollywood can turn out, and then you wonder, why am I not thinking straight? Why am I not feeling good? Why can I not pray? Why am I not getting anything out of the Bible? Why do I not have joy? Why is my testimony not up to much? Why can I not speak to sinners? Man will tell you why. Because you're not abstaining from fleshly lusts, and you're in a war, and they're battling against your soul, and you're such an idiot that you don't understand you're in a war. There's an old-fashioned comedy show used to be on in the United Kingdom. My wife never liked it, but most of the women didn't. The men loved it. It was called The Goon Show. And they were goons. Just off-the-wall humor. And I always remember the story of the goons. And there they were, back at the time when Julius Caesar was invading Britain. And the Roman soldiers came ashore, and up go the goons. And they thought they were being challenged to a soccer match. And they couldn't understand when they were trying to play soccer that they were getting the Roman broadswords in their back. An awful lot of Christians are living like goons. They're in a war. And they're trying to play tag with their enemies. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain from them. Not play with them. Abstain from them. Live in holiness. Verse 21 tells us that we are called to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Live in holiness in every area of life. Peter talks about the world. He talks about the church. He talks about the home. Live in happiness. Live in holiness. Live in humility. This is one of the most conspicuous graces of a Christian, only unfortunately nowadays it's mostly conspicuous by its absence in the Church of Jesus Christ. Live in humility. Now I'm going to give you a rapid fire. Four texts. Listen carefully. 2:13, submit. And he's not only speaking to wives here, by the way, so all you men listen up as well. 2:13, submit. 2:18, be subject. 3:1, here are the wives. Be in subjection. Chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 sums it all up. The end of chapter 5, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility. The greatest opposition to the work of God in the church is not from the apostasy, it's not from popery, it's not from communism, it's not from humanism, it's not from President Clinton's new cabinet with all their gays and sodomites and all the rest of it. They're all contributory to the opposition, but the greatest opposition to the work of God is the flesh, the pride, the self. It's not Clinton's going to keep you from spending the hours in prayer this week that you need to spend. It's self. Be subject. Humility. And then live in hope. Live in hope. Chapter 1 and verse 13 is a tremendous encouragement. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, or hope perfectly, for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, that's how a true Christian lives. If all that's true, and if he lives that way, why does a true Christian suffer? Very simply, the world can't understand him or his Christianity. Chapter 4, verse 4. They think it's strange that you're not living in excess. You're strangers in the earth. The world can't understand, so therefore you put you in trouble. Secondly, you're called to bear the cross of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 21. That's God's calling. It's the cross that leads to the crown. And then there's another reason why we're called to suffer, and that is that tested faith brings glory to God both now and eternally. Now it's a testimony to sinners. eternally it brings praise to the Lord's name. When you're tested, when you're in trouble, how does a true Christian overcome? Again, this is a full message in itself, and I maybe should refer you to the tapes and say, go and get a tape of what I preached years ago on chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 4, verse 1. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, let's just break that up. There's a contradiction in terms, as far as the human mind, the ungodly mind thinks. You're in heaviness. The word means you're in deep depression. You're under oppression. You're in darkness. You're in heaviness. Don't you know what that feels like? Maybe you're in church this morning as a Christian. That's exactly how you feel. When pressure gets to you, I remember a period in my ministry. More than one, actually, but I remember one in particular. It was a long, long, long battle with the devil every day. For 9 tedious months, there wasn't one morning that I would get out of bed without a knot in my throat that felt the size of a tennis ball. There was deep, deep darkness. Those of you who have heard the tape of the Isle of Lewis revival, from 1948 to about 52, remember the testimony of Duncan Campbell. Again, I think it was for 6 or 9 months, in the midst of revival, preaching every night and every day, and people coming to the Lord, and the movings of the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way. And yet as soon as he'd get alone, all hell was let loose against him, and he was in deep, deep darkness. God had a purpose in all that, of course, that the instrument wouldn't take the glory of the Lord. But what do you do? If you don't know how to deal with that, you're really going to be in trouble through the rest of your life. What do you do? Do you sit down and rub your hands and you say, oh, what terrible circumstances I have. Why does God allow me to suffer want? Why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? If that's the way you face it, my friend, you're going to plunge more and more deeply into distress. Peter says, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, but listen, rejoice. There are things that aren't affected by the things that are worrying you. There are things that are unchanged by whatever is happening in the world. You're elect. Rejoice in God's election. You're called effectually by the Spirit. Rejoice in the sanctification of the Spirit. Rejoice in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Rejoice that you're born again. Rejoice in the resurrection of Christ. Rejoice that you're going to rise. Rejoice that you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, that it's reserved in heaven for you, and you're kept unto it. Rejoice that not any devil in hell or any force in earth could ever separate you from Christ. He says, Christian, even though you're in darkness, sometimes tempted to despair, when it's too painful to look in, when it's too painful to look out, then look up. Rejoice in the Lord. That, my friend, is the key. Chapter 4, verse 1 is very similar. Arm yourselves with the same mind as the Christ who suffered and died in the flesh. In other words, he says, think as Christ did about obedience and suffering. You see, the mind is the battleground. Christian, remember that. Be careful what you put in your mind. The mind is the battleground. Arm yourself with the mind of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, if you look on suffering and obedience as Christ did, then, as Peter says, you'll not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But you'll rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.